Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. So welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Tina Bach, and I met Tina just a few years ago here in Mysore, and we quickly became like Instagram buddies, and she's an authorized teacher, and she lives in Abu Dhabi. Yeah. And I got a chance to sit down with her here in Mysore, and I thought I would bring her onto the show. So thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Actually, I remember when I met you. Yeah. Do you remember that? We were sitting in the steps at Amrut. Well, I was sitting there alone, and I knew who you were. And I was like, oh, thinking in my head, I was like, that's Taylor Hunt. And you just came over and sat next to me, and you were like, hi. I was like, hi. And you're like, I'm Taylor, I'm Tina. And that's how we met. And you were like, is this your first trip? And I was like, it's my third trip.
Third trip. Yeah. I do remember that. And now we're doing a podcast. Yeah. That's crazy. Yes, I do remember that. And, you know, I found like my time in Mysore, it's really important to just like try and be open and kind and like, you know.
Yeah, you were so friendly. Everyone I've ever met from Ohio is always so friendly.
I mean, the Midwest is
ridiculous. It's amazing. Yeah. Like I'm from New Jersey, so everyone is kind of like, you know, I'm kind of like, why are you talking to me?
Because in New York and New Jersey and all those places, you don't make eye contact. You don't say shit to anyone else.
Yeah. Like there's no reason to like say hi to strangers, you know? Yeah. And then they go to the Midwest and I'm like, oh, the checkout lady at Target was like really having a conversation with me. It was so weird, you know?
I know.
But that's just like normal everyday life.
And in like the East, it's like, we need to get this done.
Okay,
like,
bye. Next
hurry
person.
Up. Yeah. Hurry up and
good.
Go.
It's very refreshing. And
The Ohio is really known for like opening up doors, looking people in the eyes, saying hello, all that stuff. I think people who aren't from Ohio think that we're really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's so
lovers.
It's so down to earth, you know. So it's really awesome.
Yeah.
But so I wanted to bring you on the show and give a little bit of background information and just tell people like a little bit about what you're doing. So why don't we just start with like background information? Like you said you're from New Jersey.
Yep. I was born and raised in New Jersey, a pretty normal upbringing, I guess. My dad, he's a great guy. He has a small company. He has a truck. Mm-hmm. He does food distributions to pizzerias.
Okay.
So I grew up on free pizza, which is
awesome.
Good.
My favorite.
Yeah, so that's good. My mom's a hairdresser.
Okay.
Very New Jersey hairdresser.
Big hair?
Not so much
like
now.
Jersey
but
style?
She's gone through
Jersey Shore.
All the... She'll probably listen to this too. She's gone through all the hairs. But yeah, so my dad actually lives in the Jersey Shore. My mom lives in North Jersey. They separated when I was maybe 11 and then got divorced when I was like 14. And then my dad moved down to the Jersey Shore, which was good for me because I like the beach. And then my mom now is still in North Jersey. I'm kind of all over the place when I go home, which is New Jersey. But oh my God, long story short, I left New Jersey when I was 18. I was back and forth for a while. And then I have been living abroad since 2013.
Okay.
So I lived in Canada for a little bit in Montreal. And then we moved to Abu Dhabi in 2014.
Gotcha.
Yes, 2014.
And so let's talk a little bit about like the person you were like in your formidable years, like, you know, maybe in high school, college, like tell us who you were. Were you band nerd?
Yeah,
you were?
I was. Yeah. How did you know?
I didn't know that.
I played the French horn.
Okay.
Like until like senior year of high school. So I was definitely a band nerd kid. I was bullied in high school, you know, like every good American kid.
Or every band.
Every band
person.
Kid. Yeah. I was always into music and arts, and I was in all the musicals and the drama. And I was a bit of an angry kid. I always joke that I was an emo kid, you know, that's like my MO, but, and it is funny, but I was quite an angry kid. And I think, long story short, I think the yoga has helped me with the anxiety and the anger that I have. I actually have had some, like, I have some crazy stories about me just like going nuts and like punching walls and kicking windows. And, I mean, not that I'm any different from any other kid of divorced parents, but I think it, you know, stemmed from that.
It affected you a lot to have your parents be divorced?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's any kid too. Like, I don't want to be the special one, but, yeah, it was hard for sure. I, you know, like with any kid, it brought on a lot. And then my dad had a baby when I was 15. So that was hard also. So I have a little brother. Actually, I have two half siblings. My dad's been married 3 times. And I love my dad, great guy, but like he's a little bit like me in the can't really stay focused in one thing at one time. Going back and forth. But so now, you know, there's 4 of us, which is cool, but we're kind of all over the place. So I don't see them too much.
You see them when you go home?
Yeah, though. I do see everyone when I go home. I have a huge family. My dad has 8 siblings, and so I have all these cousins.
Oh, geez.
My mom has 6 siblings, so I have all these cousins. So we're like big Jersey style family. So it is weird that I left. Like, I'm...
You're the only one that left.
The only one that left. Pretty much everyone's still in New Jersey. I have a cousin in Atlanta. That's pretty much it. Yeah, but I don't know. Going back to that. So I found yoga because actually my dad is a recovered alcoholic. And he started going to yoga with his AA friends. And one time in high school, he took me. And I was like, yoga is so weird. Like, I used to make fun of him all the time. And then I went to a class, I think it was at the YMCA or something. And the lady was like doing headstands and I just thought it was so much fun. Like, I definitely
got... So you went from making fun of him all the way to like, this is nuts.
Oh yeah, all the time. We were all like, this is so weird, like hippie stuff. Because his new wife now is total hippie. She's a massage therapist and she's all into crystals and everything. And, and I was always like, that's so weird. Your yoga and, you know, everything.
Right. And how old were you then?
I think I went to my first yoga class when I was 17 or 18. Probably the Y there. And then I started going to hot yoga, hot vinyasa, Jersey Shore hot yoga, it's called.
Oh, wow.
Great studio. It actually is a great studio. The name is great. It's awesome.
Reminds me of the MTV show.
Yeah.
Anyone says
it's
Jersey
nothing
Shore,
like that, but yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
I'll like defend it till the day. I'm like, it's not like that. But it is in some areas.
Although the accent is the same.
Yeah. And my accent will come out even worse when I'm home, too. Yeah.
I can hear a little bit.
You can hear it a little bit, yeah.
You've done well hiding
it. Yeah, it's going away. And then if I'm around my family or I'm starting to get angry or something, it comes back. Then my first yoga class was with my dad. He still practices yoga. He does very gentle style yoga. I then went to university and took some yoga courses there. And
where'd you go to school at?
I went to Suffolk University for my first year in Boston.
Okay.
And like every good American kid, I took out a bunch of student loans and I'm still paying them back. So I was only there for 1 year until I realized how much debt I was racking up. And then I moved back to New Jersey and I went to a state college. It's called Ramapo.
Sure.
It's a small state school. It's great though. I loved it. And that was more of a hippie school. So there was more yoga there. They actually have a teacher training on campus. Like, wow. They have like a yoga shala there.
That's pretty progressive.
It was really cool. It's up in the mountains and it's very hippie. It's good. So I didn't really dive too deep into it there. It was just kind of something that I did for fun. Like, I got to take a yoga class for a semester.
Yeah, for credits.
Yeah. So I was like, it was great. But I actually didn't like that class. I think it was hatha and the teacher was wacky. And I was like, this is so boring. But then when I started doing hot vinyasa more, I got really into it. And I remember I was 22. I had graduated college and I was working. I don't know if you have these in Ohio. It's called Kidville. Or we have My Gym, like the little gym.
No.
They're like kids, basically they're like enrichment programs for kids. So they have mommy and me classes
and then
preschool enrichment programs. So we did.
Gotcha. We have them, but they're not called that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So something like, I don't know, what is it called?
Yeah. It's like a pre-K class. Like,
yeah. I don't know. Or like JW Tumbles. I don't know what they have in Ohio. There's like a bunch of chains of them. So anyway, I was teaching mommy and me classes and like doing kids music too, because I was a music major, and just kind of trying to figure out like what I wanted to do with my life. And I was super into yoga, just going to these vinyasa classes all the time. And I was like, all right, I had a friend who went to India, and I had never really traveled before at all. I went to Italy. That was the one place I ever left the country, and in Canada too. That's another story, the Canada thing. But I told my dad, I was like, oh, I want to go to India and like learn yoga. And he was like, that's crazy. You're not going. You know, I was like 22 years old. I was making like $7 an hour. You know, I saved all my money up to do a teacher training. I was like, okay, I'm going to do a teacher training.
In India.
And because I was looking at all the prices, and my dad's friend owns a yoga studio. He's like, no, you have to do it here. You know, I'll help you pay for it. And I was like, no, look, it's the same price. If I buy a flight to India and I stay there for a month and I do this training, I found one in Goa on the internet. Like, I didn't know anybody went there. This was 2011. I was researching it. Oh my God. So like 11 years ago now. And then I didn't listen to any of my parents. And I was like, because they don't know. I mean, they're very homebodies. Like,
right. They just don't know.
Just sending their 22-year-old daughter to India. Yeah, like, they were like, no.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like how my dad like questioned my first time going to India. He's okay. Like, are you serious? I mean, you know, it's going to change your life. Yeah. And you should go. But yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, alone, too. They just wasn't sure. So I lost my train of thought. So I was totally a rebel too. That's another story. In high school, I was never listened to my parents. I did whatever I want. I grew up like on the suburbs of New York City. Mm-hmm. Like all the time I would just go into the city and tell them I was like at the mall or something. Just stay out late, come home, sneak in the window.
Oh, wow.
Things like that.
Total rebel child.
I'm not like crazy.
I mean, you couldn't pick like a more dangerous place to go hang out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess it's not super dangerous.
I mean,
dangerous,
you know, there's a lot
still.
Of cops in Times Square.
That's true.
But either way, like if you could take, back then the bus was $5 and I could walk to the bus and like get to Manhattan in 45 minutes for $5. Like my friends and I did all the time to go to concerts and everything. Because, you know, and the suburbs are just the suburbs. When you're a kid, you're bored. You want to go into the city.
Right.
So I don't know. So anyway, that's another story. But so me being like the rebel I am, I didn't listen to anyone. I was like, yeah, okay. And I booked the ticket. And then I went to India and I went to this training in Goa. I mean, looking back at it now, they're actually a really, lovely couple who owns the teacher training. They have a different school now, but I mean, there was Ashtanga there. The Ashtanga there is not like proper Ashtanga we do now. Now I learned that, but that's where I first like found out what Ashtanga was, because in New Jersey we have like your like American style vinyasa classes with music and 75 minutes and you get really sweaty and like that's it, and I love that and it was great, but I think for me I just needed more,
right?
And I saw Ashtanga and I finally learned what it was and I was like, okay, I think this is for me.
And how long had you been practicing before you went there?
So probably 3 or 4 years.
Okay. But I mean, were you a daily practitioner?
Yeah, I did like the drive home from work. I would like stop at yoga class and then I was always doing like evening classes. So I'd go like 6:30 at night and then on the weekends in the morning or when I could. So yeah, I'd say I had a daily practice, but I never had a self practice. I didn't even know that was
a thing.
Like possible, you know, because I would just go and I would listen to the instructor and, you know, do the poses and
follow along.
And it was great. Yeah, and then it was just like opened a whole new world to me, I think. And also just finding that tradition in yoga. You know, when you're in the US, it's easy to get into yoga. I'm doing air quotes, you can't see. blindly getting into yoga and not realizing it's not really yoga. It's great, but that's not the yoga. You know, it was a really great form of exercise for me. Oh, it got me so into shape. I was totally a party girl. I smoked cigarettes. I ate so badly. And even just doing those hot vinyasa classes that really changed that. I quit smoking. I was still drinking, but not like I was at all back then. I started eating healthier, became vegetarian.
So many healthy choices.
Yeah. So all the healthy choices. Yoga helped me there, but
and that was just hot yoga.
That was just hot vinyasa.
Yeah,
that really got me hooked. But I kind of always felt, I mean, I definitely like I think most people who are probably listening to this podcast, the asana definitely got me in first. You know, I always wanted more. I always wanted to do like the next posture.
More.
And with the vinyasa classes, you don't really get that. And on top of that, because, you know, my ego wanted so much more, Ashtanga also, it gives you that, but it doesn't at the same time.
Right.
Because you need to wait, right. You know?
Everyone stopped at something.
You have
working
to,
on something.
Yeah. And so, so then I came home, I started teaching yoga. I mean, because I didn't really practice Ashtanga, I started teaching vinyasa. So teaching vinyasa in New Jersey, I was waitressing, trying to go by the years now. And then meanwhile, I had met my husband in Montreal. I was up there. This is another really long story to make short. I was in Montreal. I met a boy. I went home. I was living in Queens at the time, or I was living in New Jersey. And we would just go back and forth texting BBM.
Yeah.
Remember the BBM?
Yeah.
Blackberries. Yeah.
You're dating yourself now.
Yeah. So, now you know how.
No one knows what that is.
A BlackBerry. And then we would Skype sometimes. And then finally we just developed this long distance relationship. Like, he was in Montreal and I was in New Jersey. And we started dating. And then eventually I tried to move there. I didn't get a visa, so I moved home. And then we got married and then I moved there. So then I moved to Montreal. I was a yoga teacher, so that was the job that I found. And then I also had some, because I was, this is another long story short, I had always wanted to do concert production and events, and I was a music major, and that was the track that I thought I was going on.
Sure.
So I did a lot of internships at festivals and concerts. So I would work like doing back stuff in concerts in New York and in some festivals. So I actually got a cool job with Wanderlust Festival. So I was working with them.
Cool.
Yeah, the one in Tremblant, which is cool. I actually really loved that job. And then I worked at that studio, the Wanderlust Studio, which was great. I had another job at McGill University teaching yoga. So I was teaching yoga in Montreal, which was good and bad because I don't speak French. So a lot of people really didn't like my classes because
it wasn't in French.
Yeah. So it was, and it's so cold there. I definitely have a seasonal depression, so it kicked in a lot.
You got sad
in Montreal. Yeah, it was hard. Yeah. It was hard to live there
because it was cloudy, or just because it was so cold.
It snows from like October to April.
Wow,
like, it's so cold and dark.
That is so long.
Yeah,
whoa. I mean, people have that in Ohio, and partially because like, we don't get any sunlight.
Yeah.
God.
It was hard. Like, I used to go in, like, tanning booths, too, to, like, try to make myself
Yeah, everyone. Better. I mean, yeah. Or they come to yoga.
Yeah, exactly. So yoga, and the same, really thank help. God for yoga, you know, because the studio would be, like, 30 degrees, and which is, like, 80 degrees.
Yeah.
And that was just my saving grace, I think. And there was where I really found, like, an Ashtanga Shala. I didn't actually practice there that much because I was teaching so much, and I didn't really get the Mysore style yet. I still wasn't there yet. I was still doing vinyasa, teaching vinyasa, taking vinyasa. But then there was one lady. Do you know Terry McCollum? She's Joanne and Mark Darby.
Oh, like her.
Now
assistant?
She's taken over their studio there. Gotcha. She's a teacher. She was also a vinyasa teacher, and she was teaching at Wanderlust, and I would take her classes, and I was like, why is your class so different? Like, I like it. It's so, you know, it's just so like structured. Like, she would just do, I don't know, Ashtanga style vinyasa, if you can imagine what that is. Like, and then so she's like, oh, you know, I'm mostly an Ashtanga teacher, you know, but as any yoga teacher, you need to make money. So you're teaching
you
where
you
can.
Do
what you can, what you gotta do. So then I started taking a few classes at Ashtanga Yoga Montreal. I started with lead classes because I did not understand Mysore style at all. And I also didn't understand getting up that early in the morning if I wasn't getting paid for it. Because sometimes I was teaching like 6 a.m. classes, but it would only be like if I was getting paid for it.
Right.
So before, and it was a bit of a commute for me. I kind of live on the other side of the city in Montreal. So anyway, I never really got into the Mysore style when I was there. And then we moved to Abu Dhabi, and then I had nothing. Like, no, there was some yoga studio, and there was one Ashtanga teacher. The door. And she was good. She was great. She did lead classes, but they were late at night. I didn't want to go late at night. So then I just started like learning online. I actually signed up for Yoga Glow.
Okay.
And I was doing oh my God, what's her name? I was doing a Yoga Glow class. What is her name? You know, there's a teacher on Yoga Glow. No. It's going to come to me later.
I've never even looked at Yoga Glow.
Yeah, no?
I've never looked
at it. I feel like it's a little outdated now, I guess, because there's all the new stuff.
Yeah, there's a bunch of new stuff.
But back then, there was Yoga Glow.
I mean,
but
how long ago was this?
I don't know.
Like 6 years ago?
Six years ago. Yeah. Yeah, 6 years ago.
Inside this decade.
Yet. Yeah, it was in the decade. Before Aloe Moves and Om Stars.
Yeah, there was
Yoga Glow. It's going to kick me because I loved her classes and she's a great teacher. She's in California.
But you were by yourself.
Jody Bloomstein. Yeah. She has great classes on Yoga Glow. So I just learned them at home because we had moved to this country that I didn't know anyone and there was like no yoga studio. And there was a Sheng in Dubai, but back then I was like, I can't drive to Dubai. It's crazy. It's an hour away. When I first moved, I didn't want to drive there by myself or anything. So I had already planned to go back to India because we were living in Abu Dhabi and I was going to do a 500 hour. And then I was like, you know what? After I go to Goa, I'll just go to Mysore because where else can I learn it? So actually my first trip here, I practiced with Saraswati and I had never done Mysore style before, like in my life. I just learned the primary series by myself and I went there.
And then you had to do it on your own.
And I was like, all right, so this is how it works.
How'd you do?
I think I did okay, actually.
But you might not have known if you skipped a bunch of poses.
Yeah, no, I definitely remember always skipping Parvottanasana by accident for some reason. Like that was like the one thing that I would always forget. I probably skipped a lot. And didn't know the correct anything for anything.
But let's talk about it a little bit. Like, so you came here not really knowing anything. I mean, what did you learn on that first trip? I mean, first of all, India's crazy, but you'd already been to Goa.
Yeah.
Which Goa is sort of like India-like.
It's different.
It's like the Myrtle Beach of India.
Oh, yeah.
You know Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like...
I've been there, yeah.
It's terrible, but... But Goa's nice and you go there, you have your experience there, but then you come to Mysore and what's the biggest lessons that you took away from that?
India. So India in general, I think, I don't know. Oh, this is another story. Sorry, I'm mumbling, but I forgot this story. When I came to Goa, so my plan was to go to Goa and then 2 months, 1 month in Goa, 1 month in Mysore. Then I got in a scooter accident like 10 days after I was
in Goa.
I crashed a scooter. I went to an Indian hospital. I got stitches in two places. I tore my meniscus and then I flew home. And then like 3 weeks later, I was feeling better and I was walking and I was like kind of practicing. I totally forgot about this. Oh my God. And then I was like, you know what? I already signed up. I already paid for this apartment in Mysore. I'm just going to go back. So I just came back.
You went back.
That's the good thing about, so back then we had a direct flight go to Abu Dhabi. So I flew home direct, which is easy. 4 hours and you're home, easy. So then I flew back here and I was like, no, I'm still going to go to Mysore. So I came and the whole time I did a modified version of the primary series that I had found on Yoga Glow. That's why I like Jody Bloomstein so much because she has, I'm just remembering this all now, she has a series for injured knees where she does like put the towel under your knee and use...
Makes a bunch of modifications.
Use modifications and use props. And I did that in Saraswati Shala and nobody yelled at me for it. So it was fine. And I think, honestly, I went to when I was back home in Abu Dhabi, I went to the doctor, got an MRI, and he was like, all right, maybe if it's still paining you, maybe you need surgery. Because it was just a meniscus tear.
Right.
Meniscal tear. Maybe you need surgery. So they were telling me they think I need surgery. And then I came here and I did primary series for a month and... I was fine. So I think a lesson learned was that Ashtanga does have these healing powers.
Sure.
But you do need to modify it to what you need, you know? So had I not been modifying, I probably would have injured myself.
Yeah. It being overly ambitious.
More. Yeah.
I mean, and it's really difficult to be here in this environment and not like push through.
It's just like the
energy just like pushes you through.
And everyone else is going hard.
I'm
the type of person that wants like more and more and more.
Right.
So for me,
that's like a deadly combination.
Yeah. Like I was not even doing Padmasana. Like I was just very, very careful.
And how long did you spend in Mysore?
1 month.
One month.
The first year.
Okay.
1 month. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay. so time to come back. And then I actually had always wanted to study with Sharat, but I didn't realize the midnight thing back then. So I just applied on the first of the month.
It's a big thing that you...
I just applied that day. I was like, oh, okay, this day it opens. So I applied and I was like, it's full. That's weird.
I mean, it's a really stressful process.
Oh, yeah. But now I'm good at it. Like, have, you know, you have all three of computers open. Like,
Yeah,
I know all the questions. I, like, write them down beforehand. Like, memorize my passport.
That's what you have to do. Yeah, that's the only way. So it's like literally signing up for, like, college classes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you don't get the 7 a.m. class.
Yep.
It's like, exactly. You want the 9 or the 10.
Yeah.
You know, don't want them to fill up. This is exactly like Sharat's, like, you know, like, application process. Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's wild. So then I came here, was totally addicted to Meister style. I was like, cool. This is for me. I need this. I also dealt with a lot of anxiety and insomnia growing up. Like, I just always have insomnia. Not anymore, but I did. Like, I would just go through nights and not sleep at all. And I think the whole getting up early and going to bed early thing just totally changed my life.
Yeah.
In terms of sleeping, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, insomnia is so painful. Oh, I mean, like, so painful on a psychological level, where you're just like, I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I've had it since high school. Like, I remember just being up all night in high school and just, like, putzing around at home.
Yeah, I mean, I was up because of the drugs that I was doing.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, but I was basically using drugs to, like, manage my anxiety, which then again, like, sometimes it helped me sleep. Other times, like, kept me up.
You need one to keep you up, one to keep you down.
Yeah, totally. But, I mean, I could see where all of a sudden you start managing your anxiety, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, you're able to sleep or feel like you have a normal life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, so you went back home after Mysore, and I mean, you were still teaching hot vinyasa?
I was teaching, there wasn't actually any, like, hot yoga studio at the time in Abu Dhabi, but I was teaching.
What were you teaching, though?
I was teaching vinyasa and whatever. So in Abu Dhabi, it's a bit different life than in back home. I teach a lot of private lessons.
Oh, a lot of private.
A lot. Like, I could just fill my weekly schedule. I think a lot of my friends back home, like, don't think that I work or teach, but, like, I could fill up my day with privates, like, just doing private lessons.
Because people are like a little weird about going to a studio or something?
It's both. There's people with money who, you know, like to have personal training and things like that.
Sure.
So that's that. There's also a lot of Muslim ladies who wouldn't go to a studio. Although nowadays, just in the past, like, 5 years now, there's, like, ladies-only studios and there's ladies-only classes. And it's actually just, even since I've been there for the past 6 years, it's just been so different. But when I first arrived, like, I just had people messaging me because I was actually still doing Instagram back then. I started my Instagram page when I was in Goa the first time, 2012. So I had, like, developed some following. And I had some ladies find me on Instagram and be like, oh, there's no yoga teachers in Abu Dhabi, and can you come to my house and teach me? And so I did a lot of private. And then I found out that teaching Ashtanga to privates is actually great, because then it's not like you're just repeating yourself every time you go back. So I go, okay, so I'm going to teach you today Surya Namaskara. You've got to practice it alone. So when I come back next week, then
give them homework
the next
assignments.
Thing. Exactly. Yeah. So there's, like, homework you can give people, which is great. So I was doing that. I also teach kids yoga.
Yeah.
I had been doing kids stuff before. So
yeah,
I'd been teaching kids yoga. Kids yoga is always something I'll do, and I still do. But then I really wanted Ashtanga teacher. So I started driving to Ashtanga Yoga Dubai.
Okay.
It's about an hour away. So I got really into, like, going. I'd go early in the morning. Even if I had a client at 9, I would go so I could finish by 8 and then make the drive back for my client at 9. So I was, like, super into it.
And this is before kids. So
before kids, yeah, way before
really,
kid.
Really easy to make
open
that
schedule. Yeah. I can make it happen easy, and then start getting all this back pain from doing ekapada and then driving for an hour.
Oh,
you know,
man.
All of the things. And then so Nia Ferrier had been my teacher then, and I learned a lot. And she was always having teachers come do workshops, which was great. So that's lucky there. There's actually 4 programs now in Dubai, which is lucky. We have none. Because I'm the only one who would start one, but if we don't have any other teachers. But now I have the baby, and it's actually very hard to start a business.
In Dubai.
Think like a lot of other companies, but you need a local partner to own at least 51% of the business. So it just, and we're not there permanently. So it just, it just gets complicated. I actually tried running a program out of another studio, but like any master's teacher knows, it's very hard to do that when they're offering all these other classes. And
right.
It's just too hard. And also, Abu Dhabi is not an early rising city. Like, okay. 6 a.m. is not...
It's like Ohio. We're no like classes. Up at 4. Everyone's like up at 4:30.
Yeah, because people need to do stuff before work.
Right.
Like, UAE is a lazier, laid-back kind of place.
Gotcha.
There's like so many public holidays, and people don't go to work till like 9 or 10. Like my husband leaves for work at 8:45 in the morning. Like,
that's the life.
Yeah. Like, there's lots of time in the morning, you know? But yeah, so then I was like, okay, I'll go back, and I applied to go with Sharat. Came back for my second trip to Mysore with Sharat. I had to leave. So I always have to, it was always just having to leave India. I, unfortunately, my cousin passed away 2 weeks into my first trip with Sharat. So I had to leave. So I had to tell Sharat I had to go home.
Wow.
Back to New Jersey. So I left early, came back, and then another year went by, and then I decided, okay, next year I need to stay for 2 months. And I think that might have been the year I met you, or maybe it was the year after. I don't remember. But then I decided, okay, I need to stay for 2 months. So then the next 2 years, I stayed for two months. And then I got pregnant.
I mean, the 2 months trips are...
so much better.
There's, I mean, 1 month is very difficult to do. 3 months is very difficult to do, too. But two is like perfect sweet spot.
Perfect. I mean, I think 1 month is okay now that I know Sharat, and now that I've developed a practice here. But when you're new and it's just, you know, there's no growing. I mean, I wish I could stay for another month.
Yeah.
I'm very sad to leave.
Actually, just for the listeners, she's leaving today.
Leaving? Yeah. I'm so sad.
She's sad.
Oh, maybe tomorrow if the flight is full. We'll
Or it's canceled.
Yeah. So, this is another story. My husband, we live in Abu Dhabi because my husband works for the airline. So we do standby flights. So that's when you were like, when are you leaving? I was like, well, I don't really know.
I don't know.
So maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow.
Wow.
Maybe never. No, I have to go home.
Yeah.
you're getting kicked out of this apartment tomorrow. So so then now, since then, this is my sixth trip to Mysore now. Second time coming with the baby.
Wow.
So it's pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
It's been a ride.
It's a ride.
I feel like I forgot so many things, but there's just so much to say. I talk too fast, though. So.
Yeah, it's okay. I want to talk about the yoga. And thank you so much for sharing all of the details. But let's talk a little bit about, like, what makes you practice every single day. Like, why do you do it?
I think at this point, first of all, I think it's just part of me now. But I think at this point, I don't know how else I would be able to deal with just life in general, and then just anxieties, and I mean, even just having a healthy routine.
You still have anxiety from, you know, that you're still dealing with?
I always just have dealt with it. It's just something that I have, and yoga's been a good part of making that kind of calm down. I've got a lot of head stories that go on, and heart beating fast. Especially now after having the baby, I had a lot of postpartum anxiety, which is...
That's normal.
For listeners, it's normal. Like, it's so weird to... Like, the stories I could tell about just things I've visioned in my mind are just so messed up, and it's just totally normal for a mom to have.
Right.
You know, like, I'll just be pushing the stroller, like, near the water, and I have, like, a picture of, like, the stroller, like, falling to the water.
Going over.
Like, or just I see a staircase, and I just... Or even I see this balcony, and I see him going off the balcony. Like, it's just insane, like, what your head can do.
I have the exact
do.
Same things. Like, as a dad.
Yeah, like, you're like, well, I'm like, oh my God, that can never happen. And I'm like, but it could happen. You never know.
Right.
Like,
But that's like an innate, you know, that's like that like wisdom that's inside that like gives you the, you know, the thought. It's definitely anxiety, and it's definitely that happens after, like, you know, having a baby or all that stuff. But I feel like I have those things too, and it's like, oh yeah, that's a potential to happen. That's a danger.
Yeah.
And like,
and then it just spirals.
If you spiral it, that's when it turns into major anxiety.
I
don't want to leave the house.
With that being said, practice is a really good practice for that, because Well, besides like the times I try to practice with the baby, which is like not, don't really get like a good practice in, but I still do it. Sometimes I have to. But the times where I get to actually practice without the baby. So when I came here last year, I came in March and James was 3.5 months old. Oh, so he was like fresh baby.
Holy.
But I was like, you know what? Like I want to go to Mysore. So I applied and I went. I applied when I was still pregnant, I think. And I was like, well, maybe I'll go. I was like, 3 months, I can practice. That's what they say, you know, even though I practiced like three days after in the hospital. I was like doing sun salutations in the hospital. Well, we had to stay in the hospital because James had jaundice. We had to stay for about a week.
A little glowy next to
him. Yeah, he was like in the little spaceship, like with the glasses. But it was fun. I mean, that happens to a lot of babies. But yeah, I just remember being like feeling like I was in prison in the hospital and just being like, I want to practice. So I was just doing some stretching, sun salutations. But I was lucky. I had a natural birth and I had no complications.
Oh, that's so great.
No tearing, nothing, no stitches.
I mean, you bounced back right away.
Yeah, so I was very lucky in that sense.
And the yoga probably helped that.
Yeah. That's like a whole other podcast.
Yeah. Why do you think Ashtanga yoga works for you specifically?
Oh, so yeah. So with that too. So before I had been doing, you know, the vinyasa, when you're just doing something, someone's telling you there's music going on, there's something. Ashtanga forces you to just be quiet with yourself, to just become in your head. And even when you're doing the asanas, even now, sometimes when I'm doing the asanas, I can feel my head spiraling. And then you just always need to take it back to the breath. Okay, no, focus on the breathing, focus on the drishti, focus on the bandhas, focus on the asana, whatever you need to do to take your head, and then just be on your mat instead of be somewhere else. And I don't know any form of lead yoga that can do that, because you have to be so present with yourself, because it's only you and the mat and your postures and your breath. So I think that really helped me calm down, especially, I think I was spiraled again with this, especially not with the postpartum anxiety. Like, I need to just know that, like, the baby's okay for an hour. Even if I'm practicing for an hour and a half, I'm here on my mat for 90 minutes, and that's okay. Like, I can be here. So I think it's helped me a lot with that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so why do you continue to come back to Mysore?
Oh, well, Sharad, for sure. Also, I'm... don't have a teacher back home. I'm not so lucky.
Yeah.
I call you Ohioans.
I mean, I don't have a teacher back home either.
Yeah, that's true. You're not so lucky either. Yeah, there's no real sense of community for me right now since we're living abroad. And I mean, I do have the people in Dubai, which is good. But since I've had the baby, I just have not been able to go. I mean, I can't make the commitment anymore to just do like a daily drive there.
Yeah, that's a long haul to
do it on a regular basis. You know, it takes like 5 hours to do it now at this point. So sometimes I'll go back. We'll see. But yeah, I think as any practitioner, you just need to be immersed in a community like this. And I just need a teacher. I've done the self-practice and it works sometimes, but it can't be everything. Like, you need a teacher. I need a teacher. I need someone to tell me what to do. I need that guidance.
Yeah.
I think any practitioner does.
Yeah. So earlier you were talking about how you were searching for depth mm-hmm. in the vinyasa.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, when you were practicing vinyasa, but then you transferred over to like Ashtanga,
yeah.
searching for that depth.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just wondering, like, is that depth more poses or what is that depth? Mm. Like, so that the listeners can like understand what you're actually talking about.
Well, I think at first it starts to be more poses, right? But then you get into this Ashtanga practice and you start, studying other things, you know, like we're studying the other eight limbs of yoga. Like, what else? Why am I doing this practice? You know, in terms of like, you know, yamas and niyamas, and like, how can I live my daily life off the mat and also be a yogi? I think for me, you know, I was brought up a Christian, but I always didn't really like religion, and I thought that, it wasn't for me. I just was an atheist and whatever. But not that yoga is a religion, but I think that I need some sort of guideline for my life. You know, I need to have these guidelines and have these principles in order to just be a good person, in order to have a good life and be happy.
Yeah.
So that's where a big part of the yoga practice, aside from asana, takes me. And also, you know, it can calm my anxieties and things without having to do a headstand,
right.
you know. So I think there's always somewhere deeper you can go, you know. We're all trying to reach samadhi.
Yeah, we're all looking for it.
There's always going to be that. So who knows if I'll get it in this lifetime. But I just think, yeah, it's just never ending. And that's why I love it so much.
Yeah. You know, there's been so much upheaval in the yoga community over the last, like, couple years.
Yeah.
You know, like, what have you done in order to, like, stay focused? Because I've seen so many people that have had dedicated practices, that have been, like, in this thing, finding that depth, and then walk away from the practice. Like, what have you done to keep yourself inspired in spite of, like, all of the turmoil that's been going on?
I mean, to be honest, I still find myself quite a new practitioner. Like, I still find myself a baby in terms of yoga. You know, I only started coming here with Saraswati, with Sharat. Sharat's only been my teacher. So for me, I've never felt like I wanted to walk away from the practice. That's never even been, like, something that I thought would happen. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. This is not a good answer. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for it.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never thought like I'm gonna.
I mean, it's just like, you know, I feel like, and I'm not trying to make something out of nothing or whatever. It's just that, you know, it's really inspiring to see someone like yourself go through, you know, because I watch it on Instagram. I see your videos and your son with you as you're practicing. Like, for some reason, like, your algorithm and mine are like, I see everyone. Because kids and yoga, it's like,
thanks, Instagram. We don't know how you work, but
thank you. But it's really inspiring to kind of see that. And I just feel like lately there's just been so many people that have been like, you know, because of the Patabi Joyce stuff, or because of Sharat's acknowledgement or not a good enough acknowledgement, wherever you are at, where it just seems like people have been walking away from the practice. And for someone like me, like, I'm not going to walk away from the practice. No. I mean, it saved my life. I'm not going to do
that.
But to look at, you know, and watch what you got going on, it's like, you know, and just to hear your story today, it's like, there's a lot of positivity that has come out of the practice. Like, and so I'm, you know, over this last year, do you just not pay attention to it or get sucked into
it?
Well, to
a certain point, yes. To a certain point, I don't pay attention. People aren't going to be happy. I don't pay attention to it because I feel like I'm, you know, Sharat's been my teacher, and I hadn't lived in that era of Ashtanga yoga. I've never experienced anything that I thought was traumatic or wrong in Ashtanga. Like, my practice has always been positive.
Same exact thing.
Yeah. And like, of course I feel for victims. Of course it's horrible. I mean, I have been a victim of sexual assault and sexual harassment. I mean, I'm a woman, you know, like, of course I've been a victim of sexual harassment, but Ashtanga has never been that for me. So I think it, for me to pay too much attention to it, it would be too, I don't want to use trauma again. It would be traumatizing because it's always been a safe haven for me. Yeah. I've always felt safe.
Yeah.
I've always felt safe in the Mysore room. I mean, I know that's not the case for a lot of people, which makes me so sad. And I'm really hoping that through all of this, we can just become better people and we can pay attention more to other teachers around and we can support each other. And if there are teachers out there who are continuing to teach and are doing wrong, then we can, you know, stop that. But I do think being here, seeing Sharat, you know, opening his new shala and kind of trying to move forward, I do really support it because, like I said again, I mean, Sharat's always been my teacher. I never learned from Patabi Joyce, so I don't, you know, I don't have a lot of feelings about it.
It's definitely been like an interesting.
People say that. I'm being bullied for saying this. No,
there's just been a lot of things, and I think you're right. Yeah. I think that the most important thing is that, you know, I went over to the space just the other day, like, registered, and just like everyone, at first you're like skeptical. You're like, oh yeah, you know, tradition means that we're in this one spot, you know, doing the same thing in the same spot for a really long time. And you start realizing that it's not about the spot.
No.
It's not about the place.
No.
It's actually about the connection with the teacher and the community around us.
And all of us being here and coming back and supporting him.
Of course. That's what it's about. That actually just gives me chills. Yeah. And so, like, you go there, and it's like you experience in the new shala. It's like, you know, people are skeptical. And it's like you walk in, and it's like, oh yeah, this actually, when I walked in there, I was like, this actually needed to happen. Yeah. Like it is such like a breath of fresh air to like walk in there and be like, oh yeah, it's like there needed to be some sort of severing of like, this is the new direction we're taking.
Right.
You know, there's consent cards.
Absolutely. There's consent cards.
It's like there's bathrooms that are clean. You know, it's like there's space, there's all of this stuff. And it's like, how is any of that, how is any of that bad?
Yeah.
You know, so
it's all good. And there's, I mean, there's, a, I mean, for listeners out there, like, I mean, who don't know Sherratt, don't know how he teaches. I mean, there's always been a dress code too. Like we have to dress appropriately, you know, like no shorts, like no bra tops, like, his assists are much different than you would probably get back home in the U.S. Like, you know, you don't get a lot of crazy assists from him. He's not, you know, doing whatever you see in these videos of, you know, from 30 years ago, Indian teachers doing. It is not like that at all. Like, not even close to like that.
I've never been adjusted. No. I mean, I remember I assisted.
You don't get a lot of adjustments.
True. Like, definitely don't. But I remember assisting for the first time and like, and he specifically was yelling at the other assistant because the other assistant was giving like a deepening adjustment.
Yeah.
And that deepening adjustment, he's like, you will hurt them. And he's like screaming from the other side of the room. And it's like, oh yeah, it's like, you don't get deepening adjustments, you know, like in the US, of course you might get them, you know, but it's like here, it's like, no, you actually get like, it's as light as it could possibly be and the most effective it could possibly
be. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I came here with a shoulder injury, like every mom that I've ever talked to. Like my rotator cuff is all messed up. And I wasn't catching for months, like 5 months. I haven't done any catching. And then now, since like yesterday, it actually felt like okay. It wasn't painful for the first time yesterday after being here for a month and getting adjustments every day from Sherratt. And Sherratt's always doing my back bending because I go late. So like
only Sherratt.
I don't know. So I don't know. I never felt scared, or I've never felt any trauma or danger in the Mysore room here in Mysore. So I always will continue to come back here, I think. And I definitely support Sherratt and his continuing to move forward.
Yeah, it feels good.
It feels good, yeah. So long story short, because I wasn't there in the past, so I don't feel like I have the right to say anything, first of all, because it, I don't know, I didn't experience it. But then again, obviously, I want to support and I feel for victims too at the same time.
Yeah. Well, so I want to thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, I asked some difficult questions. Yeah. We have India in the background.
Yeah.
You know? I appreciate you sitting down with me and like kind of sharing, you know, your perspective on, you know, what we just talked about and also your perspective on like how you came to the practice and all that.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Yeah, it's really awesome. And so best of luck on your journey home.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
if I make it home. Extension? Sure.
Yeah, one more month. Yeah, but thanks for being on the show, Tina.
Thank you so much.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.